When South Pacific opened in 1949, it was pathbreaking for its exploration of race and gender and war. But it's now 61 years old. Why does it endure?
Why does this musical endure? Well, let's jump forward to April 2008 when this the revival at Lincoln Center, which is just about to close, opened. We were in wars in two places, and we were in a presidential primary and then election that featured race prominently and was referred to, or we were referring to ourselves as a post-racial society, which was kind of optimistic, I think. But it was resonating all over again with how people think about race, how people think about war. In this case, maybe not a war that was seen as necessary as the Second World War, but wars that were nonetheless in our consciousness. And then along comes this musical, which most people, I think, remember as seeing, you know, Mary Martin and Ezio Pinza on the cast album and Some Enchanted Evening, and they forget that it's about war and people dying in war and about racial intolerance and all these things that suddenly resonate with them that they don't expect to encounter. And I think it sort of revives itself every time it's performed because people realize that it's talking about things that are still relevant, in some cases sadly so, I think.
Yeah, today we're still talking about trying to reach that goal of a post-racial society.
Exactly. And that was one of Hammerstein's passions. He was, you know, he was for a very long time on the board of the NAACP. I think he may have chaired it for a while. And he, so this was something that was very important to him and important to Rodgers. After Hammerstein died, the first musical that Richard Rodgers wrote, and he wrote the lyrics as well, was to a show called No Strings, which was about the problems of an interracial black and white relationship. Mm-hmm. So it stayed with him as well, even after Hammerstein had died.
The show is based on James Michener's novel, Tales of the South Pacific. How was that novel received, and how was the musical received when it opened in 1949?
Well, the novel, this was James Michener's first novel, his first book, and it was very well received, and it won a Pulitzer Prize. And it was, the problems of it for Rodgers and Hammerstein was that there was no through plot. It was really stories that were connected thematically and sometimes had characters who appeared in various of the stories, but there was no through plot line. And it was very, very well received, and they were very excited about a couple of the stories, and when they started writing the show. And when it was in previews, it previewed in Boston and Philadelphia. I'm not sure about Philadelphia, but I know it was in Boston. And people kept telling them, you know, you've got to take that song out of the second act, which was You've Got to Be Carefully Taught. People were very nervous that it was so confrontational about racial intolerance that it was going to turn off audiences. And Rodgers and Hammerstein said, basically, this is why we wanted to do this musical, and we're not going to take out that song. And I think they were fairly confident that despite that song, which is less than 90 seconds long, that the show would be powerful but still successful. And they were hungry for a hit. They had had Oklahoma, which was, you know, an amazing smash, and Carousel, which was a huge hit. And then they had sort of stumbled with Allegro in 1947, and it didn't run as long as they had anticipated, and the reviews were mixed, so they were ready to have a hit. And so they were very cautious about what they thought the reception to the show would be, because on the one hand, they wanted to edify their audience, they wanted to do this show about racial intolerance, at the same time they wanted it to be commercially successful. So they were very cautious, and for the most part, it was received critically very, very well, although several critics, I think in the New Yorker and the Saturday Review, for instance, complained about the song You've Got to Be Carefully Taught. But the audiences responded, of course, to the production, to the music, which is, you know, glorious, and to the performances. And it was a monster hit. Ran for you know, thousands of performances and toured and played London, and it won the Pulitzer Prize and Tonys and continues to win awards. So it was a monster hit, and almost in spite of the fact that it was so socially and politically and culturally meaningful and impacting.
It must have been quite a tall order to go about drawing attention to racism, yet doing it so that a Broadway audience would feel safe.
Oh, exactly. And what's interesting and what I discovered as I was doing the research for my dissertation, which was the research that then informed the book, is that when Hammerstein started writing it, it was far more political and far more confrontational than it wound up being. And they were able to soften their discussion of these things and still make it powerful. And I think it's a demonstration of these two fellows who really, really, really knew what they were doing and knew how to walk that rope between having something to say and, you know, being much too confrontational about it. So they were really just brilliant in how they handled this. Because, yeah, there were other pieces. In 1949, the New York City Opera did a piece called Trouble Island by William Grant Still, which was about an insurrection in Haiti, which was African-American or African-Caribbean. The story was influenced by those powerful relations, problematic relations, and the musical Lost in the Stars by Maxwell Anderson and Kurt Weill opened, which is about apartheid in South Africa. And neither of those were nearly as successful as South Pacific, I think because Rodgers and Hammerstein knew how to balance writing a show that would appeal to the public and at the same time make the points that they wanted to make culturally and socially and politically.